So God has really been working on me about something, and it's just been stirring and stirring and stirring, and so I thought, okay, it's about time I get it out. So it all started, I was in the middle of praise and worship in the main sanctuary, and I don't know if any of you are like me, but in the middle of praise and worship, you have your hands up, presence of God falls, and all of a sudden, you're just repenting for everything you've ever done wrong. And I'm in that moment, and I'm like, Lord, I'm so sorry I haven't been reading my Bible. I'm so sorry I fought with my husband. I'm so sorry I said that. You know, I'm just in the middle of praise and worship, and I'm just telling him, I love you. I'm so sorry I've been reading my Bible. And all of a sudden, he dropped these two words into my heart, and he said, sold out. And I was kind of like, huh? So I kind of pushed them down. Well, they just kept coming up. So I thought, okay, I'm going to look up, what does sold out mean? So I looked it up, and it says, completely committed, devoted, invested, and engaged to a cause. To have no reserves about the decision you are making. To be willing to go anywhere, do anything, and give up everything to achieve your goal by any means necessary. And after reading that, I thought, oh, Jesus, I am so not sold out for you. My life is not sold out for you. So many times do I put other things before you. And I'm sure my husband will be glad that I admit, but I can become a very defensive person. And so I don't know if it's because he's a pastor or if it's because he's a godly man, but it's not easy all the time being married to him because he likes to ask questions like, what did you get from that? Or what did that verse mean to you? Or my favorite, when's the last time you read your Bible? So we're in one of those conversations and he's asking me, when's the last time you read your Bible? And I got immediately into defense mode. And I'm like, I don't have time to read my Bible. Don't you know my day? I'm up at 6 o'clock. I take care of me and two kids. I go to work all day. I come home. I just want to go to bed, you know? And so the Lord surely checked me. I used to get up and I would grab my phone. I'd turn off my alarm. And, you know, you're just trying to wake up and your eyes fully aren't awake. Well, I would just start scrolling through Facebook. And the Lord said, why don't you replace your Facebook time with my word? And it was like a stab in the heart. Oh my gosh, Lord, I so put other things before you. And that just really convicted me. And you know, who makes our schedule? We make our schedule. And so I started thinking, Lord, how many times do I come home and do I just sit on the couch and watch TV shows and go to bed? How many times do I wake up in the morning and I'm, you know, all about my social media and Lord, I go to bed and I haven't given you any time. And so I thought if God was working on me about this, that maybe other people need to hear it too. And if not, then I'm just preaching to myself and I'm okay with that. So today I want to talk to you about being sold out for Jesus. And number one, it takes commitment. Like any relationship, I went to the altar, I married my husband, I said, until death do us part, I am committed to him. How do you think our relationship would go? How do you think our relationship would go if I woke up in the morning, drove to work, gave him a little phone call, maybe later in the day, text him, hey, thinking about you, have a good day. And all of a sudden, I went home, did my own thing, went to bed, got up the next day. Probably wouldn't go very well because I'm not investing any time in him. We're not building on this relationship. Well, the same thing is with Jesus. Why do we think that it is okay that we can get up in the morning, drive to work, throw up a little prayer, maybe listen to a few worship songs, go about our day, maybe cry out, oh, Lord, help me through today, go home, do our own thing, and we haven't given God any time. We haven't invested in our relationship with Jesus. Obviously, your relationship is not going to grow. Sorry. And you know, the Bible says that God is a jealous God, and it doesn't just stop there. It says that he is a jealous God about his relationship with you. If Joey started hanging out with Antonio all the time, I'd start getting jealous. They started going to the movies, started going to lunch like they do all the time. If they started having dinner, you know, I'd probably be sitting in the background like, hey, excuse me, did you forget that I'm your wife? We're supposed to have a relationship. Well, I think Jesus sometimes does the same thing. He watches you go through your every day, and he's sitting back, and he's saying, hey, I would like to have a relationship with you. Hey, did you forget about me? You gave your life to me. And I think sometimes, so many times, we fill our lives with things. And I would like to read this verse, Philippians 3, 12 through 16, and I'm going to read it because it's out of the message. I don't know, I'll be about the message, but it says, I'm not saying that I have it all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ who so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning me onward to Jesus, I'm off and running and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on the goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have anything else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. The Lord is just asking us that that we would keep our eye on him, that we'd remember that he went to that cross and he died for us, and all he wants is a relationship with us. He went to that cross for us who didn't deserve it. And then we can go to Romans 6, 17. And it says, but thank God, though we are once slaves to sin, you have become obedient with all your heart to the standard of teaching in which you were instructed and to which you were committed. What can we give up today to make time for God? All he's asking for is some time. He just wants to spend some time with you. And so number two, in order to be sold out for Jesus, you have to have no limits and no restrictions. You know, be willing to go anywhere or do anything he asks. And why do we so many times limit ourselves? I don't want to. I'm not good enough. I have nothing to say. It's too early. You know, I'm too busy. Whatever the excuse or restriction we want to put on ourselves. Sometimes the best thing to do is to step out in faith and let God use you. I don't speak in front of people. This is not something that I, you know, like to do. And so Joey always asked me, do you want to preach for Shift? And it was always, no. Well, what happened was somebody else asked me, and I'm not known to say no. So I was like, sure. And then I went home and I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I just do? I have to come up with a message. I have to speak in front of all these youth. I was freaking out. But you know, the reason I didn't want to speak in front of people is because I never thought I was good enough. And you know, we will never be good enough on our own. But with Christ, we are good enough. And I stepped out in faith, and I don't remember half of the things that I said when I spoke to them, but God really came through, and God really used me. I was actually more excited after I had preached. I don't even know what I said, but I was just so glad that I actually stepped out in faith and let the Lord use me. I mean, I've always said no, and took someone else to ask me for me to, okay. But I mean, it was just, it felt so good to go and be in God's will for my life. And so, whatever he asks you to do, don't make excuses and put limits on yourself. Just do it. Do you know, sometimes we don't do things because our flesh doesn't want to. And do you think that Jesus wanted to go to the cross and die? No. The Bible says, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken from me. But, such a small word, but it means so much. But not as I will, but as you will. He was pretty much saying, God, I don't want to do this. If there's any other way, but Lord, I only want your will for my life. Even though I don't want to do it, if this is your will for my life, I will do it. And so he went out and he went to that cross and he died, even though he didn't want to do it. So let's go to Romans 12, 1 through 2. And the Lord is just asking and looking for willing people. He just wants people who are willing to sacrifice their lives for him, who actually want to step out and be in his will for their life. And so I love this verse, and it says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He just wants willing people who are willing to go out and sacrifice themselves for him. Just listening to a message of Joyce Meyer, and she was talking about, why don't we make our flesh miserable for a little bit just to have some joy and peace, rather than going out and making our flesh happy for a few moments, but making our spirit miserable. And I thought that was so good, because sometimes Thank you. Sometimes we are so ran by our flesh. And sometimes we don't do things because we personally don't want to do it. So then also, sorry, I have a lot of verses. They're just so good. I couldn't pick one. So I'll read this one. It's out of the Message. Matthew 16:24-26. And this was really good. I think this one spoke to me most out of all of them. Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You have to let Jesus lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Sorry, hell no. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to finding yourself, your true self. And so then number three, and this one I had the hardest time, and you know, I was just struggling to get it to come together. And I think maybe because maybe this one was the one speaking to me the most. I don't know. So don't just act the part, be it. Sometimes I think we just go through the motions. Sometimes you come to church because it's what you've been doing. It's become a routine for you. You come to church and yes, you're here, you're filling a seat, but you're not actually here. You're not mentally here. And you know, we should be coming into church to get something, to leave change. But yet it's become such a routine for us that we just sit there and yes, we're, you know, we may be zoned out or maybe on our cell phone, but you know, we're here, we think, oh, I've given my service, my Sunday or my Friday to God, but it's become a routine. You're not getting filled when you come in. Or sometimes we come to church and we act like we have it all together. In church, we're Christians, but we go out in the world and nobody would know that we're a Christian. It's a shock factor if anybody knew that you were a Christian. And also, sometimes I think we like to compare ourselves. Well, you know, I'm better than her, so I'm doing okay. And I love this, I guess you could say, quote that Pastor Richard said, it's not about how good you are compared to that guy. It's not about how good you are compared to any of them. It's about how good you are compared to that guy. It's not how good we are compared to each other. It's about how good we are compared to God. And I thought that was just so good. I think he said that at the retreat, and I just have not let that go. That sometimes I think we sit here and compare ourselves and think that we're okay and that we're good because, well, I read my Bible more than that person and I come to church two times and they only come once. And another thing that I see a lot is everybody wants to stand in someone else's spot. I wish I could preach like Pastor Joe. I wish I could sing like Angelina. You know, we all just want to be somebody else. But, you know, God has called you for this time. God knows all the plans and all the purposes for all of our lives. And we all know, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You do you. Nobody can do you better than you can do you. And I don't mean to be harsh or, you know, I thought, oh gosh, I hope I'm not going to offend anybody. But you know what? The Lord is really stirring it up in my heart to be sold out for him. And I just want to see other people be sold out for him. You know, I really, truly, when I read this definition, I thought, oh God, if we could just be that, if we could be completely committed, completely devoted, invested and engaged to the cause, to Jesus's cause, to have no reserves, not to look back, not to regret what we've been doing, to be willing to go anywhere and do anything and give up everything to achieve the goals God has for us by any means necessary. I'm just going to be very transparent, but I was at the store the other day and I was his face looking at me and I was buying a pregnancy test. Okay. And yes, I'm married and I have two kids. It's still embarrassing. Okay. So I have a bunch of books. I have a bunch of books and I've got it in there. And so I'm going through the line. And, you know, I'm just like, okay, let's get out of here. So all of a sudden she, you know, sees it, puts it in, and she starts suggesting another one that everybody really likes. And I'm just like, okay. You know, I'm like, I just want to get through this. And so I said, well, I had the flu last week, and I was feeling nauseous. And everybody started putting in my mind that I might be pregnant. So I thought I better take a test. And God, I hope I'm not pregnant. And she looked at me, and she said, at least you can get pregnant. Me and my husband can't get pregnant. And my heart just dropped. I felt so bad. And I was like, well, you know, there's always an option to adopt. There's hundreds of kids out there. You know, you can adopt. And she's like, yeah, but it's a long process. And so I was like, okay, thank you. I got my seat. And I started walking out. And I just started praying for her. And I felt like the Lord said, go back and pray for her. So I turned around and I saw, oh, there's like 5 people in line. I have my kids. I'll just go pray for her in my car. And here I am making an excuse for myself. If I would have just stepped out, who knows? The what ifs have been running through my mind. What if I would have been the only person who would have prayed for her? What if I would have been the one to pray for her and she would have got pregnant? What if I was the only one she would have ever heard about Jesus? What ifs have not stopped in my mind, all because I made an excuse for myself that I couldn't turn around and I couldn't go pray for someone because 5 people might see me. And I'm listening to this song tonight and it's talking about, gosh, no, I totally went blank. It was talking about... Yep. And you know, and it's just, you know, what I thought in my mind when I heard the song was like, Lord, I'll be a fool for you. Lord, I don't care about being embarrassed. It's not about being embarrassed. Yes, my flesh is going to be embarrassed, but Lord, help me to push down my flesh and go after those people, Father God. What if I am the only one, Lord? Why can't I be sold out for you, Lord? Why can't my entire life be committed to you? Why am I so afraid to talk to somebody? Why am I so afraid to pray for someone? Why am I so afraid to go out and say that I am a Christian? I love Jesus. Hey, let me pray with you. So this has just really been stirring in my heart so much. And I like to read this last verse, and if the band can make their way up. So roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear, be totally ready to receive receive the gift that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then, but you do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy. You be holy. You call out to God for help, and he helps. He's a good father that way. But don't forget, he's a responsible father, and he won't let you get by with sloppy living. And I thought that verse was so good because sometimes we just fall back into what is a routine for us. And we think that we're okay because we come to church, you know, on Sunday. And yes, we're here, but God is asking for more from us. And he's really been working on me to give him more. The Lord wants your entire life. The Lord wants you to be committed to him. The Lord wants you to not hold back and do whatever he is asking you to do. And he wants you to not act it, but actually be the Christians that he has called us to be. The Lord wants us to go out and preach the gospel. The Lord wants us to get the word stirred up in us. The Lord wants all for us. He doesn't, you know, he's too good. God is way too good to sit back and just live this lukewarm life. He either wants you to be hot or he wants you to be cold. The Lord wants you to be fully in. Jump in to God. And I really just want to sing this song, and the altar is open. And I just remember listening to this song and I was just crying. And it talks about when the Lord walks into your life, everything changes. And Lord, we love you and we won't stop. And so I felt like that was just the heart cry of what God has really been stirring in my heart. Lord, we love you. We don't want to stop. Lord, we want to go forward. Father God, we don't want to turn back. Father God, we just love you, Lord. Lord, we want all that you have for us. Father God, I just pray for every person in this room, Lord. Whatever it is that you are stirring in their heart, Father God, may you open it up, Father God. May they open up, Lord, and receive what you would have for them. Father God, whatever you are calling them to do, Lord, may they come to know what it is, Father God, and may they be happy in being them. Father God, may they be happy in being who they are, Father God, for you. And Lord, may we go out and be sold out for you. May we go out and preach the gospel. May we go out and get your word stirred up in us, Father God, so we can be a light on a hill. So Lord, I thank you that we will not sit back, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that we will not let other people, Father God, take, Father God, what is ours, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are just so good, Lord. I cannot just express how good you are, Lord. In this world that we are in, Father God, we need more of you than we have ever needed before. So I thank you, Lord, that you will live in us, Father God. As we seek to find you, Lord, you will come into our hearts, Father God, and you will change us. So, Lord, I thank you that when you walk into the room, Father God, everything changes. And, Lord, we love you, and we're never going to stop. Change us, Father God. May we be sold out for you, Jesus. May we go out into the world, Father God, and show the goodness that you have showed us, Father God. Lord, help us to be committed. Father God, help us to make no excuses for our life. And Lord, to be what you have called us to be the Christians that you want us to be, Lord, to love like you want us to love. Father God, may our lives be changed tonight. Father, may we come into this service and may we leave changed. So we thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the honor. You are just so good, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. So tonight I have a challenge for everybody. And my challenge, like I said earlier, what can we give up to make time for God? This week, check out your life and see, what can you give up in your life to make some time for God? You guys can all have a seat. We're almost done, but I would like